Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. If you have a lifestyle that's typical of the modern-day professional, you probably have a lot going on. With all these demands on our time, it's easy for us to get drained out and lose steam if we're not conscious about taking care of our need for rest, relaxation, and fun. Aisha Moore is a self-care expert whose sole mission is to help busy professional women restore this balance in their life and avoid burnout. Aisha has received a Master's of Public Health from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, focusing on health behavior and health education. She's designed numerous workshops to help public health leaders change their organizations to have a greater impact on the people they serve. She has also spoken at conferences on the topic of public health leadership and community engagement. By listening to this interview, you'll learn about the importance of self-care and how you can be more attentive to your needs so that you thrive and reach your full potential. Aisha shares some of her best advice and tools that will help you get to this place of balance and vitality. Definitely don't miss it. Hi, Aisha. How are you doing today?
Great. I'm doing great.
Thank you for making the time to speak with us. I'm looking forward to our conversation today on how we can all start taking better care of ourselves and create more balance in both our professional and personal lives.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me today. I feel really honored.
Excellent. So before we get started, I would like to begin with speaking a little bit about your background and your story and what got you started with doing all this great work. What led you down the path to becoming a self-care expert who now helps so many women deal with stress management issues and finding balance in their lives?
So like many people who do coaching and other work, it really came from my personal experience, both positive personal experiences and a not so great personal experience. So I have been in the helping professions my whole life. So I have been health educator for many, many years. And along with that, I also did a lot of work in the community. And because it all goes back to how I was raised, and it really came from my father, who always pushed me to make a difference. That's what he always told me almost every day. Mm-hmm. And as a result, when I was thinking about a career, you know, in high school, everyone asks you, what do you want to be? I thought I wanted to be a psychologist. And so I wanted to understand what that might mean. So I volunteered on a crisis hotline for my peers when I was in high school. And I learned a lot about psychology, mental health, and how to help other people and coach other people through difficult situations. Anything from like, I'm not getting along with my parents, teen pregnancy situations, all the way up to suicide. Mm-hmm. So I've really been in the helping profession for a very long time.
Okay.
Oh. And so,
yeah.
Oh, I was just going to finish a little bit more of my story. So, you know, that's where I got my start. But, you know, there's so many people who need help. And so, you know, I was helping people professionally at my job, but I was also helping a lot in my community. And at some point, I got to get what was a dream job to really help the U.S. work on HIV prevention. And it was an amazing job, but it definitely was stressful. And at the time, I didn't realize that, you know, maybe I should have been pouring all of myself into that amazing job, because I was contributing in an amazing way at that point in time, but I never let go of the community work. And at some point, my body had enough. And my body had let me know through a series of signs of exhaustion, through losing my appetite, through what I now understand are panic attacks. My body was trying to signal to me that I wasn't giving it enough rest, rejuvenation, relaxation, not enough mental clarity, not enough sleep. And I got really, really sick for a while there. And my doctors were testing me for everything. And they kept asking me if I was stressed. And I would be like, nope, I'm not more stressed than the average professional woman. So that can't be it. They tested me for everything. And then finally, my doctor said, you know, I think it might be stress and anxiety from, you know, everything that you do and how you contribute. And maybe she asked me if I want to try therapy. And I was so sick, I had to stop working. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, I'll do therapy. I'll do whatever. And that was kind of one of the defining moments, was seeing a therapist, relating to her all the things that I was doing. And, you know, there's finally a neutral party to basically tell me, yes, you've been doing too much. This, the way you're feeling is actually caused by, you know, stress. And let's start to work together on it. So that's how I kind of how I began this journey of self-care, and then turned it into my passion of helping professional women avoid or recover from burnout.
Wow, that's a great story, Aisha. You know, what I find interesting, though, is how wise our bodies are. It always lets us know when we're off balance and when we've gone too far. And those physiological signs, they always come up whenever we overdo things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we either don't know them or we ignore them, because we're waiting for, like, okay, I feel the stress, but we're waiting for this time in the future where we'll deal with it. And I recommend that people work every day to keep their stress levels low.
Right. And I think that's something you really learned from your personal experience, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because we think we can push through and push through. And actually, many of us do for years, right? We do push through even for years. But then, you know, for some of us, there comes this quote unquote reckoning when our bodies just completely shut down on us because we have not seen the signs that we need to go in a different direction. We need to do something differently because we don't really know what self-care looks like. So I wasn't like I was doing nothing for myself. I was Fridays after work, I might get a manicure, pedicure, and a bottle of wine, right? Yeah, but that wasn't help. Those are not solutions to time management. Those are not solutions to setting boundaries. Those are not solutions to making sure you get enough sleep. So right. While they're nice things, and you definitely should pamper yourself, they're just not the solutions to a lot of the things that are stressing women out today.
Right. And I really think that it's because of the way society has kind of structured itself. Like, so many working professionals today are facing stress and difficulties in coping with all their personal and professional demands on their time. Why do you think that it's gotten to that point? Like, why have we created a lifestyle like this for so many professionals today?
Yes, we very much have become a career goal oriented society. So even when I spoke about, you know, my earlier story about, so what do you want to be when you grow up? It's all, the answer to that is always, what career do you want? That's really what people are asking. They are not asking you to say, I want to be a kind person who lives by the beach and has a wonderful family. Like, that's not what they're asking. And so because no one ever asked about that part of life, people don't set goals around that. And if you don't really have goals around that kind of thing, then you're not going to do that in your time. So I think that's because people only set goals around their career. So when you go back to my story and I said, you know, I talked about what I wanted to be when I grew up. When people ask that question, they're only asking about careers. The answer to that question is always, you know, what career you want. The answer to that question is never, I want to be I want to be a kind person with a family and live by the beach and have a job, this job plus this hobby that I'm really passionate about. Like, that's not what people are asked about. So a lot of us don't even have that vision for that. So then when you're working too much, you know, because it's not taking away from anything, because you don't have those things as part of your vision. You only have the career, and the career ladder, like, you know, my 5-year plan is always like a 5-year career plan. So it's never like a 5-year plan about the rest of the life.
Right. And I also think that culture plays a big role in this. I feel like the US is a very work-centric culture. Like, I've seen in Europe, for instance, a lot of places like Italy, Scandinavia, I've seen that they're very good about keeping that work, maintaining that work-life balance. So I think the U.S. is definitely more geared towards working professionals and kind of building their careers, a lot of focus on their work life.
Exactly. So yeah, the way we are structured in the U.S. is that, you know, most people do have jobs that have benefits with some time off, but then people don't always take it. In some company cultures, if, you know, it's frowned on to take time off.
Yes.
People, and then I think also now with new technology, you're able to be on all the time. So I like envy my parents, because my parents were working class people who both worked at the post office. So when the post office is closed, they can't work, right? They have to come home and be with the family. Like, there was a natural cutoff point. But now with being online, you can check email anywhere. You can even check email on the plane. You can check email in your commute. You know, you have people texting you different things. And so I think even if you're at home trying to take time off or trying to have downtime, it can always be interrupted at any time. So you're never able to really let go.
Yeah. And I think it's even more important now to create those boundaries. And, you know, this would be my next question. What do you believe is the importance? Like, how important is it when it comes to building boundaries and for taking care of ourselves and our needs?
It's so important. So when I work with people, one of the key things we work on is a self-care plan. But that plan that we come up with, that's individual to your life, it doesn't matter if you do not have the skills to make sure the plan happens. And one of those skills is boundary setting. So say, for instance, someone decides, say it's a married woman, and they decide that on Tuesdays and Thursdays after work, they want to start going to the gym. But they're the one who normally picks up the children, right? So if she needs to go ask her she needs to be able to ask her partner to pick up the children 2 days a week to make that happen. But if she does not have the skills or the courage to make that request, the plan means nothing, because it's not going to happen, because she has not negotiated a different arrangement. So she has to make the boundaries that way. Same thing. Maybe she needs to tell her boss that she wants to leave at 5 o'clock so she can go to this, you know, appointment. So sometimes there's people that we have to talk to be able to ask for their help to make our self-care possible. And so being able to ask for that help, set the boundary that you're going to, you know, go home at a certain time, hold yourself accountable to it, hold other people accountable to it, is so important. Otherwise, it just becomes a dream.
Right. And I feel like a big part of you must believe that you deserve it. You know, that's also, it's also related to self-esteem issues.
Right. So this idea that, you know, you need to put yourself first and make yourself a number one priority is so hard for people. So I did a survey of my readers last fall, and there were 4 themes that came up. And that was one of them, that even when people have free time, they give it away to other people. So whether it's their children, or maybe they have other family members that depend on them, it's really hard for people to put themselves first, because they feel that they're the only one that people can depend on.
Yeah,
but that might not be true. That might not be true, because what people will find is when they start saying no, the people who are in need, most of them just ask the next person. They ask you first because they know you're going to say yes. They know it's going to be easy. And when you start saying no, they figure out where they can get their help from. So definitely, if it's a particular person that is always coming to you for things that you don't feel good about, right? So I'm not saying don't help other people, but sometimes there's people who ask for help and you resent helping them. You feel guilty for helping them. You don't even want to help them anymore, but you do it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, they'll figure out another way. They'll figure out another process. And sometimes that might be the help, is to lead them to something, a skill or something that could be more sustainable for them. So you're not always the person that they have to depend on, because then, who can you depend on? You have to, it has to be a mutual relationship.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they just need to learn how to say no. No, I can't do it.
Right. And for some people, it's hard to say no.
Yeah.
So there's like some baby steps there. And it also depends on who you're talking to, the relationship. But sometimes it is to say, it's not that you want to say no, it's that you're busy right now and someone's demanding something of you now. And so sometimes it's not no, it's yes, I can do that for you next week at 7 p.m. I'm not going to drop everything right now and do that for you. So letting them know when you're going to do it. Same thing when someone's asking, like sometimes at work, someone will ask you for feedback on something and you say yes. And you're in your mind, you're like, okay, I'm going to do that, tonight. They expect it feedback like right now. So then they're emailing you like, where's the feedback? Where's the feedback? And you're like, this person, they stop bothering me. So then you also have to advocate for yourself to say, okay, great. I look like I have time today at 3 o'clock. Look at that for you. So I will give you your feedback by 4. So like, help set the expectations for other people on your time. So if you're like, if you have trouble saying no, and I'm definitely one of those people who has trouble saying no, definitely, set expectations around the time. And the last thing you can do is just ask a lot more questions, because sometimes you don't realize what you're saying yes to, and you really need to be saying no because you didn't ask all of the questions. This actually just happened to me Monday. Someone asked me if I could go on a trip somewhere. I immediately said yes. And then I was like, oh no, I got to ask more questions. I was like, okay, so you want me to, it's not just going to the presentation, who's making the presentation?
Mm-hmm.
When are we practicing for presentation? So I asked a bunch more questions and realized my answer was actually no. I didn't take upon myself to ask enough questions to make a better decision. And if I had not stopped and asked those questions, next week I would have been regretting that. Yes, I would be tired and irritable, but it would be because I didn't ask enough questions to make a good decision. So sometimes we realize later we should have said no because we didn't ask enough questions.
Right. I'm sure a lot of people needed to hear that. I just have this feeling. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Sure. No problem.
So you just told us about the issues that you face with stress during your professional life. Could you tell us a little bit about the early signs of stress and burnout and what we can do to prevent ourselves from getting there?
Yes. So I talked earlier a little bit about the physical signs of burnout, so we can go over those again. So if you start to have like mental fogginess, like you can't think straight, that's one of the signs. Also with like attitude changes. So maybe you're a generally happy person, but you find yourself being very snippy with people and kind of just disillusioned and a little cynical all the time. Then a lot of people mistake that they're having a heart attack because they often feel like shortness of breath and rapid heartbeat. So that when you're in like that overwhelmed state that happens, you start to sweat. And some people actually think they're having heart attacks. The other thing that kind of happens is around your stomach. Your stomach can tell you a lot. And if you start to have either losing your appetite or you start to have acid reflux, that can be another sign of it. So those are some of like the real classic symptoms of stress from the physical sense. But there's another thing that people don't think about that's so important. And so this is called the signs of personal craziness. So I personally find the word craziness to be a little stigmatizing, but so I like to talk about the signs of personal chaos. And this comes from Patrick Carnes, who wrote a book about addiction. And there's some signs of when people might relapse into back into addiction. And these signs are also helpful to show when you might be under too much stress. And there are things that you might not think of. So when you think about your home life, right? Is there a lot of clutter? Have you not been able to wash the dishes and fold your clothes? Those can be signs. Also with transportation, are you always losing your keys? Are you always losing your train pass? Are you always speeding? Are you running out of gas? Those are some of those signs. Are your pets not being walked? Do they not have, are you always running out of food for them? Do you have like poor relationships with like everyone in your life? Those kinds of things. And so we all have some of those things, but if we have too many of them, those are some of the signs that there's personal chaos. So once I learned these, it made so much sense to me because I was a person who lost my keys all the time. Mm-hmm. Every single day, I never knew where they were. So, you know, after work, I come home, I'm so stressed. I just throw my purse, throw my keys, throw my train pass, you know, not thinking about it. Then I wake up in the morning, getting dressed, like I'm probably a little running a little late because I wanted to sleep in, I'm snoozing. And then I think I'm going to get somewhere on time and I can't find my keys. So I spend 20 minutes running around my house looking for the keys. And that whole time I'm under like severe anxiety. My body does not know that I'm not running from a tiger because I'm running around my house, panting, tossing everything, trying to look for these keys. And now my house is a mess, right? So those kind of things where you can't keep things orderly in your life are signs that there might just be too much going on because you can't even do the basics. You're not eating well. You're not staying hydrated. You're not folding your clothes. And so none of us are perfect. Like right now I have 2 baskets of laundry I need to fold, right? But I have to make sure I don't have laundry and dishes and I can't find my keys and I need to get gas before a meeting. But I didn't give myself enough time. When they compound together, that's where the problem is. So you just have to make sure that you, that feeling of like, I don't have it together. Like that is a sign that you have too much stress when you just kind of have that overall feeling that I don't have it together, but not having it together are some of those signs of personal chaos that I just went over.
Yeah. And whenever I've faced a high stress period in my life, I always had this gut feeling that I'm just off center. I'm just off center. Something is just not right. And I need to change this. I mean, that's how I felt. And I mean, I had these intuitive hunches that I definitely need to change certain things in my life.
Right. And I think we all do. But sometimes, you know, we ignore that because we have some other goal or we're beholden to someone like a boss or a partner, right? Maybe our children or our parents.
Right. Yeah. And that's where these setting boundaries and things like that, habits like that really are vital.
Yes. So vital.
Okay. Besides setting boundaries, do you recommend any other practices that we can follow to maintain a calm, serene sense of balance in our life?
Yes. So I really like people to like assess every day in their mind around their energy level, right? And so one of the things I recommend for everyone is in order to make yourself priority and to put yourself first, you literally have to do that every single day. It's like do something for yourself first. So I think morning routines are really, really important. So people have to choose for themselves like what they need. So in the morning, I ask myself like, you know, again, like you said, that intuition, is everything all good? Or is there something off? So if I feel off about something, then I need to fix that. So if my back is hurting, right? I'm like, oh, well, let me go on YouTube and do a quick yoga. If my mind feels really cluttered, okay, let me go ahead and do some journaling or meditation, right? So you check in with yourself every single day and do something for yourself every single day in the morning. And even if things are all good, you still need to do something for yourself every morning because you're trying to build up your energy and resilient stores every single day because we never know what's going to happen in the rest of the day. And so oftentimes we're like, I'll do that later. I'll do that after work. But then maybe you work late and it's really tired or you come home and your children had a bad day or you come home and you need to, eat or whatever it is. And then you, don't give to yourself. So I recommend that everyone give to yourself in the morning at least 30 minutes, if not an hour. And so then when you walk out to face the world, whether that's work or you walk out to volunteer, you walk out to do something with your kids, you're at your best, because oftentimes people don't start the day at their best. You start at your best and then the world gets what's left of you, you know, if you will, because sometimes we give away everything to everybody and don't leave anything for ourselves. So I want to make sure that everybody understands that, like, do you first, give to yourself first, and then you'll be able to give to each other people so much more easily, because you'll have the energy to be able to do that.
Right, right. And I mean, are there any specific exercises that people can do during those morning routines that you recommend?
Yes. So if you want to think about it, like if it's 30 minutes, maybe you want to put things out into like 5 minute increments or so, or even like, let's say 10 minute increments. So definitely do something for your mental health. So whether that's journaling, praying, or meditation. So that's the first thing you want to get, like, sort of your mental, right? So then let's think about your physical. Try just stretching, try yoga, try any type of like Pilates. You can do that for a short amount of time. You don't have to go through a whole routine. So like with yoga, I often recommend that people start with a very basic thing that's called sun salutation. You can find a million videos on YouTube about it. But one of the most basic yoga routines that you can do. And sometimes even just doing 5 sun salutations is, you know, your body will be warmed up and be stretched out in that amount of time. And then the next thing I recommend is making sure you just have that physical fuel. A lot of people get breakfast. Make sure you eat something, whether it's just like a banana with peanut butter and some tea, you know, a couple of boiled eggs. Just eat something, put something on your stomach, because again, you know, a lot of people have a lot of stress in their life, but they're not even, and they want to go do yoga. They want to go on like a 10-day meditation retreat. They want to go do all these fancy things, and they would feel better just by drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, and eating the right foods.
Yeah, I think it's just about getting the basics right. You know, that would help a great deal in managing stress. You know, getting enough sleep, eating healthy, you know, having a good mental, emotional practice, you know, just taking the time out to do all those things. I mean, you won half the battle.
Exactly. So, yeah. So people want, like, you know, fancy strategies, you know, they want to find something they can spend money on.
Yeah.
You don't really need to do that for a lot of people. So much self-care is free. And we, like you just said, we forget so much of the basics.
Yeah.
You know, even things that, like, with children, we like focus so much, like when you have babies, all the babies have like a sleep routine. You sing them a song, you read them a book, you know, you let them like relax. And then as adults, we're like, we lay on the pillow and in 5 minutes, we're like, why am I not asleep? I'm not asleep. I have insomnia. It's like, no, you don't have insomnia. You don't have a sleep routine, right?
Yeah.
You haven't wound yourself down, you know, drink some lavender tea, put on some lotion that has lavender, because lavender is very calming. Read a little book before you go to bed. And then once you hit the pillow, you will fall asleep in 5 minutes, because you cut off your phone and you did all the winding down that you needed to do before you hit the pillow.
Yeah. I mean, I like to turn down my lights an hour before I go to bed. That's my, I just need to do that to wind down. So.
And so there's so much stuff out there, you know, people can find it. But as I said earlier, just make sure that your self-care is something that, is solving a problem for you. So like, if you have a specific thing that is stressing you out, make sure you find self-care that matches that, and don't do something that's like not related to that, because otherwise you might feel relaxed doing the other thing, but the problem that you had is still there. So you want to definitely work on solving problems in the process.
Right. Okay. That brings us to the end of this very enlightening conversation. Aisha, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah, this has been fabulous. I love, you know, the back and forth, and that, you know, we both could contribute to the conversation. So again, I just feel really honored that you reached out to me and we were able to connect.
Yeah. Where can we learn more about you and your work?
So to learn about me, you can go to my website, which is selfcarebyaisha.com, and Aisha spelled A-I-S-H-A. And then I'm also on Instagram and Facebook a lot, sharing Facebook Lives almost every Thursday, and just kind of showing you what it looks like for an everyday person to practice self-care. Because sometimes, you know, we have all these gurus and things that we look at, but I'm just like an everyday woman. So I just want to show you what it looks like for a regular person. So follow me on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, I'm sure after listening to this, a lot of people will reach out to you. So I really appreciate you being here and sharing your knowledge with us.
All right. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure. All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.